Thank you very much. And changing gears here from wheat and biofuels, I will present or like to share some studies and experiences we had looking for alternatives to nitrogen fertilization. We all know, the high prices that we're getting on nitrogen fertilizer. So I will present these studies, multi-location, from two perspectives, from the educational extension aspect of what we wanted to conduct here, and also on the second part, I will present the results of one of the locations of these overseeding trials. I would like to recognize my colleagues, Jim Muir, over at Stephenville Research Station in North Central Texas, Gerald Evers, forage legume agronomist, Gerald Smith, legume breeder, and Tommy Nealon, Mike Gage, and Robert Scott, county agents with the Texas Cooperative Extension. As I said, these trials were set up to kind of go beyond of what we call demonstration plots, where we have only single, non-replicated, where we do not collect data, and the purpose is visual observation, like in these cases where we have, we set up plots to showcase or demonstrate the seasonality of applying nitrogen fertilization. So this is just what we call show and tell. So we wanted to go beyond that, particularly with extension, and we decided to do multiple, what we call replicated or applied research, where we do, in addition, data collection, we have the scripted measurements, and we do statistical inference. So that's the purpose of these overseeding trials, to use them as, we would say, dual purpose, do our demonstration, and at the same time, do applied research that is based on the producers, and draw inferences on this data. So the objectives of this particular study were to look at the overseeding of warm season pasture, species like bahia grass or Bermuda grass, and in some cases was a mixture of bahia and Bermuda, and overseed them with cool season forages like some legumes and ryegrass, and look at the effect of this overseeding on dry matter production, nutritive value, and because they were multi-location, we also wanted to test the adaptation of different legumes to soil pHs. In addition, as I mentioned, we wanted to show the multiple purposes that we can obtain from this applied research. We set up four locations that obey to places that had combination, different combinations of rainfall, soil type, as of sandy soils or blacklands, and pH in the soil. So we had the IRATH location, which is, rainfall of around 30 inches. Navarro County, probably additional 15 inches in rainfall, with the particularity that the Navarro location has some soils within the Blacklands. High pH. The Leon location, kind of parallel or on the same line with Navarro, but their soils were slightly acid, so not basic like in Navarro, but more on a 5.5-6 or I would say 5.5 slightly acid pH. In addition to these were conducted in the season of 05-06 and 06-07. We started one additional location in Florida that was started this past year or this past winter with similar latitude, probably 4 degrees latitude south, but also slightly acid pH in the soil. This is the layout of the plots. What we had here was we had these were regarded as a split plot where we had a ryegrass, no ryegrass overseeding in these strips here. So we had one strip that had ryegrass and another strip no ryegrass. And then we had three replicates. What makes it a little bit particular on these studies is that we use half of the plots to collect data and the other half of the plots just for demonstration purposes where no harvest would occur. Going more specifically, the sections, as I said, main plots had ryegrass and not ryegrass, and then as subplots we had different treatments that were composed of different clovers that were overseeded in the subplots. So we had, depending on location and the type of soil, we would choose more adapted legumes, and we had, for example, sweet clover, or we had arrowleaf, we had crimson, and we had a mixture of arrowleaf overseeded this way. And we had a nitrogen fertilizer that was applied to the ryegrass overseeded split and a control where no fertilization or legume occurred. These plots, the demonstration section of the plots, if we go back, this section, as I said, was not, we did not conduct any harvest, but they were more used for conducting the extension type of activities. In this case, at the Stephenville location, we conducted field days with the dairymen. Same thing occurred in Leon. I'm not sure in the pictures. But we also used them, the ones that are set up in Florida, we used them for in-service training. This was not a good year, rainfall-wise, but we are able to use them for these extension activities. The base of this applied research is, or the, one of the keys is to count with excellent cooperators, and these were two of them, where they not only seed their place, but they also became part of this activity. So here we have one of the producers, and you will see him here. Being part of the activities that we conducted. So getting now into the materials and methods of this overseeding trial, we had the cool, we had the warm season forages, and at around this time, November, mid-November, we proceed with a slight disking of the warm season perennial, in this case by hayagrass, to kind of open up the sod and allow for germination of the cool season forages. As I mentioned, you know, they became part of the study as well. We did the demarcation of the plots and planting. And here are the different seeding rates that we use for all those legume combinations. So for arrowleaf, 10 pounds to the acre, equivalent in kilograms per hectare. Crimson clover, we had one plot that had a combination of arrowleaf and crimson, which is usually done by producers in that area. Hubam, where it was used in the Navarro, where they're more of the basic soils, we used 19 pounds to the acres, rose clover. And ryegrass was used at the rate of 20 pounds to the acre. This is some, we proceeded then with the data collection, and here's where the agents helped together with the technical support from the station at the different areas or different locations. Here we have some of the legumes being harvested by the county agent in the Leon location. And this is the Stephenville location in Erath County in April of this year. In addition, the multi-location are now running this year into the third season. We're getting ready for overseed again. We have the advantage that we can look at we had an extreme dry year in the season of 05-06, and we're able to make the comparison with 06-07, which was definitely a wet year, as you will see later on. So here are some of the results just for the Navarro location, which is near Corsicana, Texas. And at this location, soils are soils in this case are basic. In our study, we had pHs that went from 7, 7, 5, and 8 for each one of the three replicates. So here you have the comparison of the legumes that were overseeded. We have a Hubam sweet clover, and we have two experimental lines of sweet clover, which is, we just call them experimental B and experimental C. In addition, at this location, we had arrow leaf, and we had crimson, and we have that mix of AC, or arrow plus crimson. But because of the dry conditions, arrow leaf and crimson were not harvested. So you can see here the results for the strips that were overseeded with ryegrass and those that were not. And definitely for all of them, ryegrass at this eastern location had an impact. We see the yield increments of adding the ryegrass component, definitely significant. Ranging from 86% increment and probably 2.5-fold for the experimental lines. Down here, you can see the comparisons of the yield on the herbage when we compare the legumes with a no-fertilization treatment. So if you were not to fertilize, you, by just overseeding, would get probably 2 or 2.5 the herbage on these overseeded treatments. And when you compare this overseeding with a 90 kilograms per hectare treatment, you can see that in most of the cases, you know, we got a comparable or higher yield for these overseeded treatments. In here, we have the same location, but the following year. So what we saw in the previous year was the 05, 06, and this is the 06, 07. Arrow leaf and crimson definitely were harvested. And you can see that the Huban had a 92% increase in yield. The sweet clover overseeded with rye had a 30% increase. And as I said, these results obey, or these differences, here we have the weather data where we have the 05, very dry, and we have the 07 weather data where we have definitely more wet year. That location in Navarro was at the heart or at the core of the drought impacted areas, and this could be seen in the results that we observed for 06, where you can see here the ryegrass component and the sweet clover. But in 07, look at the height of the sweet clover and the stand of ryegrass. Just to finalize, or here with our data for what we have here is our nutritive value data, and you can see we have our same yields, we have our phosphorus concentration, and the phosphorus yield. We're also showing here the crude protein, you know, overseeding with these legumes, you know, will provide us an increase in nutritive value than for this time of year when these forages are grown. We don't have much to rely on from the warm season grasses. So you have protein values that are, you know, well suited for animal production. So in summary, I just wanted to show some applied simple research that is based and implemented on producer priorities. But at the same time, we have an instrument here that allow us to screen clovers. Some of those experimental lines provided some information to continue some of the work. And Likewise, we were able to see the behavior of these legumes in areas where we had less precipitation. That is not shown here, like that that we obtained for Stephenville. Probably in that location, the ryegrass component does not have an increment like we saw in this Navarro location. But in some of the other locations where we have more of a rainfall pattern, we were able to see some of the benefits of overseeding with these cool season forages. With that, I'd like to thank you for your attention, and I'll entertain some questions. Thanks.
How well were your demonstrations attended? And did you have more than one throughout the seasons?
Well, we had at the Leon County, one of the areas in the eastern Texas area. They were well attended. Initially, we had some concern because the stands look so, especially on the ryegrass, they show somewhat poor. But what standed out in those cases were the growth of the legume. So starting out to give them some explanation, well, you know, the ryegrass, you know, it's been a dry year, there was no need for that. The producer said, well, this looks much better of what we're having in our fields. And basically, the feedback was on their impression on the legume growth.
Yes.
We are doing that in our Florida location. I don't have the data yet, but the clovers used in Florida were a little bit different. I mean, we're 4 degrees south, 28 degrees in Florida, and we have the same setup. We have the control, nitrogen fertilizer, and then we have a set of legumes. In this case, we included red clover because it's more adapted to the area. And what we did is on the second regrowth of the red clover, because it was also a dry year in Florida this year, we decided to let the stand, or not to harvest the stand, and came back and harvested the bahia grass about a month and a half later. But just to measure the nitrogen fixation from the legume and the yield on the grass. But it's ongoing.